At Pew Talk Podcast, we know that faith starts in the home. We also know that it can be difficult to take what we hear on Sunday and live it out in our homes the rest of the week. That's because information alone doesn't lead to growth and change. But information that's reflected on and put into practice is much more likely to lead to growth and change. Join us as we hear God's word, reflect on it, and give practical starting points to help you live out your faith in your family and in your community.
You did a little precursor of
there
the
was
with the woo.
And I knew it was
a pre-woo. Of course, Casey can't really interact with us until now. Boom. Hey, Casey.
How are you?
Well, hey there.
Casey is on location in Arizona telling us how to cook a cookie in a car.
Cook a cookie.
Yes. That is a skill my wife will be teaching me probably on Wednesday or Thursday.
Yes.
Because it's going to be 120 degrees on Thursday.
And still feel better than Fremont because it's a dry heat.
False. I would rather be in humidity and only 100 degrees than 120.
He still won't turn on the air conditioner in his car.
No, absolutely not. You start driving and that wind starts blowing. Yeah, especially. Okay, let's hear y'all out there in Podcastville. What would you rather heat wise? Would you rather have the dry heat of Arizona where it's 120 degrees and no humidity, or the beautiful Nebraska that's only 100 degrees? With humidity.
No humidity.
What?
It is a lot easier to breathe in the non-humidity. Like, I can at least take a deep breath.
Yeah, Tara says dry heat always.
Tara.
You don't count.
I've been coached.
Tara's standing behind the computer telling Casey what to say.
Holding up that.
That's not happening at all.
Do you have your volume on your phone?
No.
I'm hearing an echo.
I do hear the echo.
I think that's from Casey. Casey, you're echoing.
In his headphones?
I don't hear an echo on my end.
All right. That means it's definitely you.
Yep. It's on you.
He smelt it, dealt it. Oh, I smelt
Except.
It. See, now I don't hear an echo when I mute him.
Now we're okay.
Yeah. Oh, what about when I talk? Yep. All right. Casey, you're muted. Yep. Sorry. We'll see you later.
Adios.
So, Casey, today is a special day. Do you want to talk about it?
If I'm unmuted.
You're unmuted.
So today is Tara and I's third wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
And you're together.
Hold on. I have a. Nope.
Nope.
There it is.
Yay, there it is.
No, it's not a joke. It's for real.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
3 years.
So, Three whole years.
Yeah.
I feel so old.
Where did you get married?
We got married just outside of Omaha, outdoors, in what it was about 110 and humidity. So it was the worst of both these worlds.
I think that's the best of both worlds.
Perfect day for Tara.
Yeah, in a tux. That's not great.
Did any of
that's
your...
three layers.
Did any groomsmen pass out?
No, but our pastor gave them full permission. If you're feeling it, just sit down.
There you go.
And no one had to.
Okay.
Impressive.
But wow. It was a gusty day, so about the time you got too warm, a good breeze came in and cooled you down right when you needed
there you
it.
Go.
The difference.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So,
but the reception was indoors.
Good.
So we got 3 years. What are you going on?
Wednesday the 23rd, it will be 20.
Wait a minute. Next week?
Next week, the 23rd.
Yay.
Next week. 20 years.
20 years.
Next week, the 23rd?
Yeah.
That's when you're leaving.
Oh, that's right. I'm leaving it.
Yep. Yep.
I'm getting out of here for your anniversary. I don't want to be here.
We also got married outside.
Ooh.
And it was at 7 o'clock in the eve time, and it was actually the weather was very nice.
Nice. Okay. 20 years?
20 years.
What are you guys going on? Like
we're 15? Going on 13.
13.
On the 13th, it will be our
13th.
July 13th will be our.
So you guys have all your anniversaries ahead of you. So Laura and I had our anniversary on 24th of May, and we just did our 13th.
Okay.
So we're ahead of you.
Yeah. Ours was on a Sunday afternoon, which was just fantastic.
They had to because you were busy in the morning.
No, I was not. I was not pastored yet. That was pre-seminary. But
still in college.
Yeah, I was still in college. I had no beard. I looked like a little tiny baby.
He had his ear pierced.
I had my ear pierced.
What?
I got punched in the face by Stacy's brother the night before we got married.
I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh, seriously.
He had a black eye.
I had a black eye for my wedding.
Why?
No, we were playing. So we had two receptions. We had the night before the wedding, we had a pool party reception for all of like college and high school friends.
And family.
And family.
Because
we had a ton of family. Yep. And then the day of the wedding, we had the Franzischmensche reception. And at the pool party, we were playing basketball in the pool. And Stacy's brother is 6'5 with a long wingspan. And he went to block one of my shots and instead poked me in the eye with a pinky. That officially ended the basketball game.
Yeah. Sure, and then you had a black eye for your wedding.
I did. Yeah.
So any good stories from your 3 years ago today, Casey?
We hired a videographer who claimed to have been at the location and was going to have like two cameras on the wedding. And he showed up at the wrong venue and missed the ceremony.
Oh no.
And then to make up for it, he came in time for the reception, like the first dance, cutting of the cake. And to make up for it, like got super close to the camera or to all the action, and it made it incredibly awkward. And we haven't paid him to this day because we still haven't gotten the tape.
Oh, gosh.
Oh
my gosh.
It's because
he edited it and he realized how awkward it was. He's like, can't give this to them.
Yeah. It's also awkward that he still calls it tape.
But, I was going to say, here's your VHS from 3 years ago.
This is a message for you too.
Uh-oh. Oh, yeah. Yep. That's hi, Ma. Yep. Well, there are some great pictures of my mom putting makeup on me that day.
Nice.
She was very happy to jump in and do that.
Oh, absolutely. Mom was very excited.
Lacey, did you have any weird?
Oh, they're all weird. I shouldn't say all weird. I was 45 minutes late to my wedding because the limousine driver ended up in North Bend. And
it's a good place to be.
Yeah. Didn't turn down Summer Street to go. My folks' house was across from the golf club. So, yep. Mm-hmm. So myself, my three bridesmaids and my flower girl were at my parents' house. And I'm like, where are you? Where are you? And nothing. And then finally I got a phone call that's like, I think I'm lost. I'm like, well, where are you? They're like, North Bend. I'm like, well, heck yeah, you're lost. Yep. I'm like, turn around. So
we're going to start walking.
Yep. So they picked me up the driver picked me up. And as we're getting into the limousine, my flower girl drops her basket of petals and is crying. And I'm like, Shelby, it's okay. I'm chewing gum like a wild, crazy person because, you know, I don't smoke cigarettes or anything like that. So, yeah. So I get there and my dad's like, ooh, nice of you to show up. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm here now. Let's do this. And my personal attendant was my Aunt Sue, and she helped me get out of the limo. And as I got out of the limo, the hook on the back of my dress pops. So she fixes that. And then my dad and I are standing there and I'm still chewing this gum. And music starts. We're walking down the aisle and Sue looks at me. She goes, Lacey, your gum. And I almost went and spit it. And I'm like, oh, everybody's staring at me. So I stick it underneath my tongue. We get up there and my dad or Pastor Lenning's like, hey, nice of you to show up. And I'm like, hey, I'm glad I could make time for you today. Yeah. You know, and then I can't remember, says something. And then I just remember, let us pray. And then in my video, you see me go up to my mouth, get the gum and shove it up the bottom of my bouquet.
Wow.
How about you, Paul? Fun stories? That's pretty awesome, Lacey.
I mean, we had some good times. We also too had a incident with the videographer for our wedding. We didn't hear from the guy forever. We didn't know what was going on, and so we were like, "All right, apparently we're not getting one." And then he showed up, and we're like, "We made other arrangements. You can go away." And then he was kind of being a jerk, so I had really good friends that are all lawyers because my wife, and so I just sicked all the lawyers after him.
No contract.
The other funny thing was that there was I have a wedding picture in my somewhere. I think I showed. Did I show you? I'm not sure who I showed. Maybe I showed Casey.
Tara and I.
Yeah, I showed Casey. Yeah, so here's a picture of my best man and I, and it's in black and white. And behind us, there's a circle, and it's in color, and it's the pastor picking his nose. Like, just like way up there. It's just the perfect picture.
That's awesome.
So. If there was one other story for our wedding, your story, Lacey, reminded me of ours. Tara almost didn't wind up at all at our wedding because there was two different vehicles of bridesmaids and they did not communicate which one was going back to Omaha to get Tara because we were about 40 minutes away from Omaha. And so I got to the venue first and then the bridesmaids start coming in and I'm listening and Tara's voice is not among them. And Tara had to pay the hairdresser extra to drive her to the wedding because the bridesmaids did not communicate to get her to the wedding.
Should have done that out of the kindness of her heart.
That's fantastic.
Wow.
But the hairdresser was a college friend of ours who also lived way up north, so it was extra out of her way. Yeah. So she drove like an hour to get to us, so it was now like 2 hours for her to get home. So it was fair compensation.
Now that makes sense.
Oh, all right. So we all got
married. If you're planning a wedding, guys, remember to get the bride.
There you go. It does make sense. So we all got married, so we kind of build our marriage on a foundation, right?
Yeah.
Transition.
Yes. Lacey.
Yo.
Transition.
Oh, sorry. I can't do it now.
It wasn't planned.
It sure wasn't.
Yeah, we planned everything.
Now yes. I'm giggling. Matthew 7, verse 24 through 27. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house and it fell and great was the fall of it.
Right.
Now, Casey, this was your reading for the wedding, wasn't it?
Yes, this was our main text, actually.
Tell us about that. Why did you choose that text?
So at weddings, yeah, I'm pretty sure Pastor Gerber can also relate to this. Usually there's a set of passages and 1 Corinthians 13.
Of course, that's it. That's it, period.
Love 1 Corinthians 13. Kind. But what we realized is there were groups of people who had been to a lot of weddings, and we wanted it to be a worship service first. And you hear a lot about love, but one of the things we wanted to focus on was the idea that our love just isn't, oh, you're so amazing, babe. It's all about us. It's what our marriage was built on. Because if we just trusted in each other alone, that marriage was going to fail. We wanted a reminder of what our marriage was built on, which is Christ and his love for us first.
Yep. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Oh, beautiful. So nice. Yeah. Often when I lead weddings, that's the typical, which I like because I actually use love is patient, love is kind. I use it as pre-vows. And so I have them look at each other and go, I will be patient. I will be kind. And they go through all those. And we end with, and when I mess up, which I will, I ask your forgiveness. But I also, Casey, I think about you every time I do it, but I just slide in there that love is a verb. Not many people get that DC Talk reference, but it's always in there when that gets used.
I mean, I don't care what you say. I don't care what you heard. The word love is a verb.
Should be right, a Paul. Song.
Yeah. There should be a song about that. That
there should be.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
Kind of want to bring it up. Go ahead. Keep on talking.
Yep. Yeah. So the foundation. So with building our foundation on the rock, right? It is not just on this cutesy.
It's spelled L-U-V. I just want to say.
Yep. Because yeah, this is 1992.
Yeah.
Columbus sailed the ocean. Oh.
Is that you?
Yes.
Down with the DC Talk. Down with the DC Talk. Down with the DC Talk. Pulling out my big black book. Because when I need a word to find,
that's where I look.
So I move to the L's quick fast in a hurry. Through all my specs,
my vision was blurry. That's for you, Paul.
It was black and white with no room for gray. I just want to hear the chorus.
That's when it hit me. The love is a verb.
Paul's brain's going like this.
Hey, tell me, I think we need to do that song for the July concert.
Hey. Oh, sorry.
So if for all of you who listen to modern Christian music, the guy doing the rapping is a very young Toby Mac.
Yep.
So his style has changed over time.
Not really. Just
not really. Sound, maybe.
Yeah.
It just sounds better.
Yep. So when we, as we look at that passage, Jesus starts it off by saying, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like the man who builds his house on the rock. And when we see these words, it's really referring back to the entire Sermon on the Mount, because these four verses are the very last four verses of the Sermon on the Mount. And so Jesus has spent all of this time teaching and preaching, and then he's like, now go do it. Don't just hear these words, but whoever hears these words and does them will be like the man who builds his house on the rock, who builds a strong foundation, so that when ugly things come throughout life, when the winds come, when the storms come, when the waves come crashing in, the house will stand. So have there been times in your lives where, I know we talked last week where we didn't really feel like, if you're going with rock bottom on this very, you know, very, very low place, none of us really felt like we'd ever hit rock bottom, but have there been times where though you still like needed to lean on that foundation because that's all you had, like, or how's that gone in those tough times in your life?
I don't know.
Last week we talked about when we had CPS called for Alex after she broke her leg the second time.
Yep.
And that time for me was definitely a time of reading the Bible a lot, praying a lot. I didn't feel like there was a lot that I could do otherwise. And we had family and friends who were praying very deeply for us too. So to know that our situation felt desperate in the sense that we didn't have any control over it, we knew that we weren't alone, and we knew that regardless of what happened, a good outcome or a very bad outcome for us, that God was still there and secure, and this was not a mystery to him. So in that time, we really relied on our foundation in Christ as who we are and mm-hmm. how we were going to get through. So prayer and reading the Bible and leaning on him. I think I cried a lot in worship those days, just like, oh Lord, I need you.
Yeah.
Because I just felt so vulnerable.
And it doesn't necessarily, because, you know, everything worked out with the CPS case because you read the Bible or because you prayed, it doesn't necessarily change the situation. But and just like in that passage, the winds still come, the rain still fall, the waves still crash in. It doesn't change the situation,
right.
But it changes how you're able to withstand the situation.
And I think we very easily could have been swept away by that.
Oh yeah.
And consumed by it and just lost our faith and trust and hope and joy and all of that. But even within that, we were able to maintain that God's picture is bigger regardless of what happens as well.
It could have been easy to blame anyone. Could have been easy to blame us, blame God.
And that's what we kept, like, through that too, we kept saying, you know, we understand they're looking out for our children. Like the reason they called was because they thought there was something going on and these children were in danger. So they did what they had to do and what they felt was right, trying to like not blame them and put all that anger towards them, but to say, you know, that they're doing what they should do. They're doing their job.
Yep. And in the end for us, it was good because we were able to find out that there was a medical, I mean, it was a lack of vitamin D, but there was actually having Alex have to go through all those tests helped us figure out that deficiency.
Well, and with this being our wedding text, what I think of when I hear this, the pastor who married us was a former pastor, became a professor that Tara and I both had at Concordia, Dr. Dirk Rieg. For anyone who knows him, he is an awesome individual. And for our marriage counseling, he used the foundation aspect of that as the base of some of our studies. And he said, when you look at marriage, you need to think of a triangle. And each point of it is one of you and God. And the way the triangle works is when you draw closer to God, you wind up drawing closer to each other in marriage. God is the tie that buys a successful marriage. If you draw away from God, you pull that triangle apart. You ultimately rely on yourselves. And that will break that triangle over time. It's designed to be structurally sound because Christ is the cornerstone of it.
Anthony's got a smirk on his
face. I love that. I love Dr. Rieg, but that's a pretty awesome analogy picture.
I would love to take credit for that analogy, but Dr. Reek's too awesome. I had to give him a shout out.
Yeah.
If you ever get a chance to meet him or hear him speak, it'll be a sermon literally like none other. It'll be the most honest interpretation of the gospel according to him you've ever heard, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
Best remarriage counseling I could have ever asked for.
Go. Here you go. Okay. So these words, you know, to continue to go back to that text, in the Sermon on the Mount, there are lots of words words that we like to skip over that because they're awkward. So, Stacy, what's the most awkward thing for you in the Sermon on the Mount? So, I just really wanted to ask you that question and just, I don't know.
I don't know. What was I going to say?
I remember a conversation that we had, and maybe this is not what you're getting at, but adultery and divorce are both in there. I don't remember where it was, but I think we had a you know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
We had a conversation, which is worse. And then murder is now in there too.
Yeah, so murder's in there
maybe
too.
I'll just back off of this unless you think this could come out.
No, so it is that was a conversation that was so out of left field that's not really, because so basically here's the conversation. I had this conversation with a bunch of friends at our synodical convention, and we just went back and forth and we kept like going down rabbit trails. And so with Jesus, you know, he says that if you divorce a woman, you make her commit adultery, and if you marry a divorced woman, you commit adultery. And so it's a continual act. So if you're like, and we had that discussion, what does that really mean? We talked a lot about that. But it reads, if you just take it for face value, it reads that you're living in adultery. But murder is a one-time thing that you can ask for forgiveness for. And so the conversation went something like this. Is it better to, if you want a divorce, or if you don't want to stay married to your spouse, is it better to divorce them and then get remarried and live in adultery, or just murder them, ask for forgiveness, but not continue to live in adultery?
This makes me a little fearful.
I know. It's not going to happen. This was just like this. We were so, like, we had been sitting, voting on all this stuff, and it was, our minds were just shot, and that's when they started to wander. So please don't actually think this is...
Neither.
Yes. Do not murder your spouse. Do not divorce your spouse.
You could look at it this way. Yeah. You'll either be living in adultery or living in an 8x10 cell the rest of your life.
But it's pieces of stuff like that that make you really... It's, I guess to me, I'm like, oh.
It's a, yeah.
You know, and then as you go through and you're reading this Sermon on the Mount, I'm like, well, this is terrible. This is terrible. This is terrible. Mm-hmm. This is terrible. This is terrible. And then you get to the end and then it switches to listen to my words, build your house on a rock. But yet these are also your words. So.
So when you're saying this is terrible, what do you mean?
Well.
When it says don't do this thing.
Don't, yes.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And okay. We go back to my just be a good human.
Yep.
Okay, which I know is not the right thing to say.
Well, it is good to be a good human. That's
kind of
not
saying just be a good human. Don't.
Yeah. But here's what it looks like to live the good life.
Yes.
Like this is what it looks like to live God, the will of Jesus. And there's a lot of stuff in there from, you know, it's all over the place. But there's a lot of stuff in there.
Well, and I've never had to write a sermon before, so I yield to Pastor Gerber if I'm speaking out of both sides of my head here. But from what I've heard from pastors who prepared sermons, that you have to prepare for a wide range of people who are in the congregation. A lot of people are going through different things. And Jesus, of course, has to lay down what God says. And you have to prepare for those who are comfortable in their sin, for those who are like, I mean, yeah, I'm not perfect, but I'm not like bad. And Jesus is showing, no, it doesn't matter. It, like the standard is, you know, Christ has high standards. But I think the other side of it is Jesus keeps all these things that we are terrible at perfectly. Like it makes him, what he does, even more impressive.
Yep.
When we were in seminary, one of Anthony's professors led a women's Bible study, usually at least once a year. But he's the one who wrote the Concordia
commentary.
Thank you, on Matthew. So he was in the process of writing it when we were there. And so he was teaching on the Beatitudes. And I just remember he had this, and I don't know if I can do it with my microphone in front of me, but we got to the Beatitudes. So blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And he read through all of this. He said, now I want you to know that when it says blessed are the poor in spirit, that means those are the people who have nothing to offer God. So I had always thought like it was more like those who are sad, poor in spirit, like just kind of down. But it's really those who have nothing to offer God. So that's everyone, right? We have nothing to offer God. He said our tendency as we're reading this often becomes, so we're reading it and we often kind of start to look up and like, oh yeah, I'm fulfilling these. I haven't murdered anyone. I've kind of kept these. He said, but our posture always needs to be put my head back down, like keep my nose in God's word, and it's not always going to make sense. And there will be 10 times where I feel like, okay, I got this. I can go now. I've read all I need to read, and now I'm good to go. Yeah. But we continually need to come back to that. Blessed are the poor. poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And because we have nothing to offer God, God has given everything to us. Ours is the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
So I just always think like he would.
Did he have? Did he strap anyone in to? So he had. I don't know if someone built it for him.
I don't think he had it.
But he has a. I don't remember what he called it, but it was like the Bible muzzle or something like that. But it was this. It was this stand that held a Bible, but then it strapped it around your head. And so whenever, wherever you moved, you couldn't get away from looking at the Bible. So even when you start to go, because he would always kind of tip his head up and go, what do I think about that? No, it's not. Yeah. Yeah. Put your head down. It's not what you think. It's about what Jesus has said. And so someone built him this contraption that would strap to your head, but it would keep the Bible in front of your face. So you could never, consider your own thoughts, but only what Jesus says.
You are aware that if my husband's listening to this, he'll probably build you.
Perfect. Those. Let's go.
Challenge accepted.
There you go.
But okay, in that where it says in the beginning where we're poor in heart.
Blessed are the poor in spirit.
It's poor in spirit. And we have nothing to offer God. But can't you offer God your heart? Can't you open your heart up to God?
He opens it for you.
Okay. Because that's what's going through my head. Because I'm like, well, I don't physically have anything to offer. Right. But mentally and spiritually, I can and allow my heart to be open to receive what you are saying. But
well, I look at it this way, and I don't know the chapter or verse, but the Bible mentions us as dead in our sins. And what can a dead thing do? It can do nothing for itself. Yeah. Like, you are a dead thing is about as poor in spirit as you can get because there's nothing left. And so our heart is dead. Christ is the one that makes it alive. So recognizing that you are literally a dead person with nothing to offer God, he is the one that fills you and allows you to, you know, be blessed and as well as live out faith through him. Like, it's amazing how little we have to offer in this situation. And I think it's because we like a little credit where we can get it. Like, I'm a little good, aren't I? Nope. We're very miserable. God, if there's anything good in us, it's Christ working on dead people like us.
Yeah. Yeah. We often think, and I don't remember where I heard this analogy, but we often try and think of salvation kind of like escaping a bear, where it's like, well, I am not the worst person. I just have to be better than half the people. And then I'll be good enough to outrun the bear. But no, it's not this, if I'm just good enough. It's literally the bear got you. But then Jesus is like, no, I'll take you. Gotcha. Pick you up, Paul. Paul's having a great day over there today.
Oh, I have thoughts, but I'm not going to say anything. Go ahead.
Are you mocking my thoughts?
My thoughts are, and you're going to correct me if I'm wrong. I know you are, because I probably am wrong. I'm just going to look at the camera and say I'm wrong. Okay. So I always pictured that those Sermon on the Mount are the day when you truly give your life over to Christ and truly say, I'm going to be following him. These are the things that he's expecting of you. And so therefore, we as Lutherans, we had the baptism when we were babies, but we also go through confirmation where we're supposed to like, oh, I'm going to do that. I never really did it until I was, 35 or something, you know?
Yep.
It's only been 10 years or something. When I really, truly said, I'm giving my life over to Christ. And so that's when I changed, when I became, I don't know, some people like to say born again or whatever. I'm not sure if I prescribe to all this silliness, but I do think that there is, there's a time in your life when you say, I'm done playing, stop being a kid.
Yeah.
I don't know. So.
No, there's definitely this cognitive thing that happens. But it is because of it's the Spirit who works that.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that there is a time that
absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Something happens in us.
Yeah.
There's still this, this change in us that happens where you can look back, on this date Jesus did something special to me.
I can't actually think of a date.
Well, it but
is
some
a, it
can.
Is a gradual.
Yeah.
But one day it's like I'm not going to be selfish anymore, or I'm not going to.
Yeah. And then
I'm not going to knowingly walk down this path. Yeah. I'm orienting towards Christ.
Yeah. Knowing that the stuff that I would think that was fine before is not actually not. Yeah. Just because I'm not doing the big three.
Right.
You know.
Well, and that's going from, needing spiritual milk to eating meat, that's a change too. It's like I'm not gonna, even in my faith, not be a kid anymore. It's time to grow up and live my faith out.
Well, even like the example I've read recently is even borrowing something from somebody and then going, oh, I meant to give that back to him. You might have all intention to do that, but then you just forget. And you don't actually know 3 years later, you're like, oh, I still have this thing. As a Christian, as a person who has given yourself over to Christ, it is morally imperative that we go, no, I've actually have to seek out and do this instead of just going, yeah, I guess it's okay. It's been 3 years.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? The difference between that switch. I know. Don't.
Sometimes.
No, I get what you're saying because I am that person. You know, I borrowed my mom's panini grill to make sandwiches. And then I just like, I'll get it back to her, you know? And then I was like, oh, I still have your panini grill. Like, Mom, I have this. I borrowed it X amount ago. I'm very sorry. Here is your grill back. More often than not, the person that you're giving it to will be like, oh, it's fine. You didn't need to give that back. But you feel it in your heart that, oh, I have something of somebody's. I need to do what I would want somebody to do to me or for me.
I think, Paul, you were kind of trying to go, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought you were like making a big analogy out of it. Like, no. I got to give myself back to Jesus, sort of.
No,
I thought that's where, okay.
Showing.
No, I'm saying that your life is so different that one things that would be a non-issue back in the day. Are now, no, this is
what's right, right. And I'm going to do it because,
do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and that goes back to the first verse of our core text. Whoever listens to these words and does something about it,
yep.
It's you're not just hearing them and, oh, cool story, bro. You're literally jumping in and changing lift, your bro? Life. Sick solo, bro. Nice.
Inside joke.
Yeah. Speaking of that song, do you guys know what the theme of Pew Talk is?
I do, only because you told me. So
that song that plays at the beginning.
Yeah. You know, it's
as our baseline.
So this is actually the Trinity Worship Band's version of My Feet Are on the Rock.
Without vocals.
They'll come eventually, right? I guess not in that.
Not in this version.
I could give you some vocals, but I'm not so certain.
I just thought it would be interesting because it is the My Feet Are on the Rock.
But yeah.
It's not the traditional version of it. Well, the recorded version. It's our version of it.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's because there's a lot of bass.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
Because I'm all.
But that sick solo bro comment came from that song too. So
yep.
It's all connected. Mm-hmm. Anyways.
Feet on the Rock.
My Feet Are on the Rock.
Anyways.
Love that song.
Good one.
Yeah.
So that's what I was.
But going back to it.
Go ahead, Casey.
But going back to it, it's the core of not just hearing the words, it's doing something about it. And of course, Christ wants us to live in perfection. He wants us to follow these laws to the letter of it. But he also understands that sin has just drenched our world in awfulness. So that's not happening. And I believe, you know, the idea of realizing I can't behave like a child anymore. Something needs to change. That is evidence that Christ's words are working, that you are doing something about them. So it's evidence of the Spirit working in your heart. So I think that's kind of what you're getting at, Paul, but that's what I connected with on it.
Yeah, essentially. I mean, I know that it's a very fine line. Some Christians out there would believe it is a choice. Now, that's not what Lutherans believe.
We're not going to go down that path right now. The Spirit works in you and makes you his own.
Yeah.
So other than that,
that's where I was going. And I guess whenever I see foundation, I always think it's like the beginning. You have to build your foundation before you build anything else.
Yep.
And so therefore, as you're, I guess it's one of those things that, and I kind of related back to that being born again or being changed, is that when that happens, the foundation of that new life is Christ at that point.
Yeah. Well, and that's what like Stacy for a while, especially over COVID, but a lot of times she likes to watch Fixer Uppers. Or Good Bone. What the HGTV shows where HGTV shows where people buy houses sometimes without even seeing them to flip them and to be able to sell them for a profit. But it's so like sometimes they'll go in and go, the foundation's junk.
We can do.
And there's now of course because they're good at what they do, they usually end up still like, oh look, we only made $400,000 this time. Darn.
I mean,
that's a flip or flop. Yeah.
It's a sucky TV show when you go in, we can't finish the job here. Wrap.
Right. Yeah.
It's over.
The episode's over. Themselves. We're going to a new house. See you later.
Yeah. Let's go. But like, they can't do anything. Like, they have all these ideas for what they want to do in terms of of cosmetics in the house, in terms of fixing up, in terms of changing the flow. Nothing can be done in that house until the foundation's fixed. And that is so true for our lives. We can work on being a good person. We can work on making people like us. We can work on looking good to everybody else. But if our foundation's not Jesus, it's worthless. And it's eventually going to come crumbling down.
Well, and I pulled some research on this because I was kind of curious about foundations. So for your average skyscraper, how much of a skyscraper's budget is used on the foundation alone?
85%.
What was that?
85%.
But then how much?
That's way high.
Foundation actually goes 65 into the ground.
It's closer to a third.
Oh shucks.
but a third of that budget goes to things you don't even see. In Omaha, you've got the First National Tower. It's the tallest building in Omaha, and how tall and well structured that is. How expensive that was to get it that high. A third of that is stuff you don't see, but it's critical that foundation is there. Otherwise, that building does not stand.
Yeah. I think it's one of the classes at Trinity this year did something with structures and wind. I don't remember what grade that was.
Kindy.
It was kindergarten that did it.
Yep.
But that was too, like, that same, you have to have that strong, solid foundation, because when the wind hits the top of that tower and it's not strong, it just knocks it right over.
They did, like, the Three Little Pigs. They had make a house.
Out of brick.
Some had straw. Toothpicks.
But none of those guys talked about a foundation in that book.
No. Probably
not. Just the materials.
So that would be the secular version of that song.
It would be, yeah.
That we can build. Actually, if I want to really want to take this analogy further, they're saying it's what we build ourselves out of.
Yep. And if we use the right materials, if we make ourselves strong enough, doesn't matter what the foundation is.
I'm not saying that the writer of the Three Little Pigs was going for that.
No,
but
you carry it that far.
We can carry this water.
May not be the best way, but it worked.
But don't make it out of toothpicks.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
No.
So what would be bricks in your life?
Jesus.
Well, he's the foundation, so...
He's the foundation.
But isn't your foundation made of bricks?
I'm just joking. You don't have to...
You guys are trying to mess my head.
That's going down the pig hole.
Did you say pig hole?
Yeah, like rabbit hole, but we're talking about three little pigs. Sorry. Go ahead,
Stacey. Where's that rim shot?
Yeah.
But...
no. Stacey's got... There it is. Stacey's got her Bible out.
It said it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. So is the foundation the rock, or is the foundation on the rock that makes it strong?
No, the foundation is the rock.
Jesus. The foundation is Jesus.
On the rock. Then it says he who built his house on the sand.
Which is not the rock.
So there is a different. Okay, I'll
No, I see where you're going with this.
The rock was on the foundation.
Rock
is your foundation. Built on the rock.
What's it say? He built his house on the rock, and then, I'm also NIV, so it might be a little different. 25. It did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock.
Well,
he built his house on the rock.
ESV says it did not because it had been founded on the rock.
So what does founded mean?
It was created on the rock.
Yeah, it was built on the rock, and the rock was its foundation. That's why we use English Standard Version because it is closest to the Greek.
You know
without sounding super awkward.
I'm an ESV, and I still think that the rock
it
is the foundation. If you build it on the rock, you have a solid foundation.
Plus the songs.
Build it in the sand,
the wise man builds his house upon the rock.
Who cares about ESV, NIV? We went the house upon the rock.
All right. We're going down. I want to bring us back in. Ring us in. Okay. Casey, give us something profound. Profound.
Close us out with something profound. Is that what we're doing?
I don't know.
The pressure's on. I will say I go back to, we're talking about, even though it's non-biblical, the story of the three little pigs. We got the foundation, and the next part is what we do about it. And I think, the building materials that go up, the things that, if we're looking at the skyscraper analogy, what are the things we actually see? And I think that's the next question you answer in this whole thing, whether it's, God's foundation doesn't change ever. So when we build our faith structures, our faith houses, things in these situations. You know, the bricks or the straw. It could be, you know, whether it's good habits, bad habits, going to church. You know, so as we look to build on that foundation, what are we building on top of it? Something that will stand on the foundation, or are we looking at something that will please ourselves but fall under the test as well?
Yeah, and that is actually the next question I was going to ask, because we reflected on this word. So how do we put this into practice? So what does that mean, putting that in practice? Because we're basically, how we're asking the question is, how are we building our house?
I think Jesus says it. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them. So
that's okay. Just do it.
All so right. How do I mean, honestly,
why is it so hard?
You look at, like, my recommendation to the congregation this weekend was go back home and read Matthew's 5, 6, and 7 and find one section in there where you're like, yeah, I don't do that well. And do it. Just do
like
it.
That, well, just like that. Well, just like that.
And practice. Too often, you know, we're looking for the exact what do I do next step. Almost, and then we suffer what I like to jokingly call paralysis by analysis. We analyze so long that we freeze and don't do anything with it. Yeah, you know, I like to lean on Christ's forgiveness as I attempt to live a holy life. And then when I inevitably screw up, and usually royally so, I rely on his forgiveness as that foundation and what he's done. Rather than freezing and hoping I don't screw up, I trust on his forgiveness as I try to follow what these words say, as imperfect as I am.
There you go. Just go do it.
Just go do it.
Just go do it.
Isn't that a slogan?
Yes, yeah, from Nike. Yeah, that's... No, just do it. It's Nike.
Yeah, but I didn't want to say that because of copyright. So I just go do
we
it.
We just played a DC Talk song.
Just go do
Toby
it.
Toby Mac's coming after us now.
Oh, yep. No.
Yeah, but I mean, that is ultimately why it's so hard to sit there and go, oh yeah, whoever reads these words and does them, it's like, great.
These though, I mean, if you read through, I'll just pick because I'm on it, anger. You've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who's angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. So don't get angry. Don't insult people. Don't call them fools.
Yeah, thanks.
Yep.
Just do that.
Just go do that.
Well, one of the biggest ones that I remember pointed out actually was the one that, well, let me try to get the words in my head. I know. Hold on. It's coming. My brain is working.
My reading is off today.
I know. That's because you're not in the room, Casey.
Yeah, see? That's the problem.
The one for me was...
No, it has to do with... it's right on the tip of my tongue. Go ahead. Maybe you'll remind me.
Whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments, that's the one, and teaches others to do the same, will be called least in the kingdom of heaven.
That's not the one.
It's so easy to just say, that's not a big deal.
Is it eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth? Turn the other cheek.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Hey-o. Ding, 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 ding.
So yeah, yes. So turn the other cheeks, eye for an eye. But it wasn't just that part. It was if a person comes and takes your cloak, then just give him his whole wardrobe or something like that. I don't remember the next word. And you know, it's just like, yeah, just take whatever you want because it doesn't really matter. I say that a lot.
I know you do. That's why I always say that. It doesn't matter. But, and maybe that's the selfishness, you know, because it's like, ooh, you're going to, you know, if you need my cloak, we'll just take my whole wardrobe. That theoretically sounds great to be that giving, but then it doesn't matter.
I don't know if giving is the main point of that.
No, it's not, but you know what I mean?
Well, can you give me an example of today, 2021, of somebody going, I'm going to take this from you, and then you just go, fine, then take all this.
Well, so a lot of this actually, and I'm trying to actually find it, it's really there's really no need to sue people. I mean, we shouldn't be a litigation society. You know, somebody
spills your coffee on your lap and sues.
Yeah, McDonald's.
McDonald's.
Sponsors.
Right.
538.
Oh, there's retaliation.
There was said eye for eye, tooth for tooth.
Yeah, but if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let them have your cloak as well. It's this idea that we want to hold on to our stuff, or we want to get even. We want to make sure that we're taken care of. And this just says, just doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter.
Why do you get so caught up in making sure that it's fair? I need to get back at them because they got me. And instead of spending all of this energy trying to make things fair, just
live.
Just let them have it and move on.
And turn the other cheek.
Again, just go do it, right? So easy when you're just reading it and there's not someone punching you in the face.
Well, there's been many times that you felt wrong. I felt wrong. And there have been times that during that I would be like, I just need to let this go. And then I would go apologize and, you know, I would buy him a honeydew or something. It's a long story. My best friend in Boston, if he's ever listening to this, he'll laugh. But there you go.
You bought him a honeydew.
No, he was working at Market Basket and he was putting honeydew away. And I went to apologize to him.
Like, here's a honeydew.
Okay.
There you go. And then never mind. It's a long story.
Okay.
Anyways, I'm just trying to figure out how exactly. I mean, these things are hard, and I think that's really what we're getting to.
And ultimately, and like Stacy said, with that very first, it all goes back to that very first beatitude. These are all hard. We can do none of these all the time. We will fail in every single one of these. The reminder here is, yes, this is the good life. This is the way, this is the best way to live your life. But it's also a reminder that you can't do it. And so blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, because Jesus has done it for us. And Jesus, you know, in this, as he's preaching it, Jesus is getting ready to do it for the people, but Jesus has done it for us. He has fulfilled that law so that we can go live it. Right? You know, we don't have to. Again, we talked about this a few weeks ago. We're not under the law anymore. We're not slaves to the law. We're under the gospel. Well, the gospel is that Jesus has done this for us. But in doing so, he showed us the best way to live our life, not to earn anything, but it's just good when you love your enemies. It's good when you give to the needy. It's good when you pray. It's good when you just let your yes be yes and your no be no. It's good when we live our lives in the way that Jesus has shown us. But it's not a necessity. It's not a have to, because Jesus has already done it for us. It's an I can't, but now I get to.
All right. And on that note.
So just go do it. Yeah. You just get to go do it. Because it's the good life.
And when you screw up, and when you screw up, you get to try again. It's not the end all there.
Yeah. Okay. This was a tough week. For all this. So just as we get ready to close in prayer, as some of you may know, if you're connected to Trinity, you probably know. But, you know, this week, Pastor, I got the opportunity to read a letter from Pastor Dan that as he preached 2 weeks ago on hitting rock bottom, this past week he was planning on announcing that his retirement in December. But within a day, his cancer had gotten bad enough that he just was unable to walk at all. It's been a week where we still know that our foundation is in Jesus. And Dan knows that his foundation is in Jesus. And so while the waves are crashing in, while the wind's blowing, while the rain is pouring, he knows where his foundation is. And again, that's going back to the very beginning that we talked about this. Having your foundation in Jesus does not keep the rain away. It does not keep the storms of life away, but it allows you to withstand those storms. And that's the joy that we have in Jesus. You know, we are able to withstand for all eternity. And you know, when Jesus returns, there won't be any storms anymore. It'll be fantastic. But I just ask, I do ask, and we'll, as we close in prayer, I do ask for all of those of you joining us today or in the future to keep him and Deb in your prayers, just as they keep their foundation solely on Jesus and weather this storm. So we pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you that you are our rock. You are our foundation. And as we build our life on you, you keep us solid in the midst of storms. So help us to keep our eyes focused on you. Help us to keep our feet firmly on the rock, and help us to live the good life, the life that you have shown us is the best way to live our lives, to love our enemies, to pray for those who persecute us, to live together in love and harmony, and to not judge and to do all these things that you have shown us, not to earn anything because we cannot keep them perfectly, but out of a response of a love that you've shown us, and out of response of just again you showing us that this is your will, which is the best way to live our life. We want to lift up Pastor Dan to you, that you would be watching over him, that you'd be using those doctors and nurses to care for him, and that you'd be with Deb as she cares for him, and she's also caring for her mom. And we just ask that again that you would help them remain on that sure foundation that is you. We pray all this in your name, knowing that you hear and answer. Amen. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have no quippy whips.
Yeah. So no, it's like I said, it's good to be founded on the rock. So in terms of other announcements, we did today, one of our new teachers showed up in town, and
she already left. No.
No. thank you to all those volunteers. I think it sounds like they moved her in completely in about 30 minutes. So
wow.
Great job, guys.
Welcome, Letha.
Yeah, yeah. Welcome. And we are going to be doing, next week is going to be our 1 year anniversary for Pew Talk. Is that correct, Casey?
June 24th was our first broadcast.
Yep. Well, it's our 1 year.
1 year ish. Yeah. And it'll be probably a little different.
No, it'll be same.
Okay.
Everybody's here, right?
Oh, that's the, yep. Everyone's here for that one. Yes. Never mind. Disregard.
Disregard that one. At the end of July, we have a concert coming up.
Indeed, we do.
Yes. Yes.
It's part of our family and friends events that we're having throughout the summer at Trinity. We're doing several of them to bring not only the families at Trinity together, but our friends in the community as well.
What?
Yep.
Yeah.
We're reaching out to others.
We'll allow others in.
Oh, wow.
Even non-LCMS Lutherans. You can come swim with us. You can come.
We're swimming?
Everyone can
come.
There's no swimming at the concert.
Are you bringing a dunk? No crowd serving?
That's our first one coming up on June 26th, Saturday, June 26th at the Ronin Pool in Fremont.
I won't be here.
We've got a Trinity swim night completely free from 6:30 to 8:30 at the Ronin Pool on Saturday, June 26th. So bring your family, bring your friends. We're going to enjoy some Christian family fun. And then a month later in July, we've got the concert.
Yeah, I just picked the songs, sent it out this week.
I have 872 emails in my inbox. Sorry, Casey, that's probably why I haven't seen it. So obviously email is not the best way to get a hold of me.
I'll send my carrier pigeons next time.
There may have been an announcement, but we were also out in the lobby chatting too. So we maybe missed the announcement.
Yeah, I missed it.
No, there was not. There was not a verbal.
I didn't know that either.
I was like, wait a minute. I was very busy.
It will be verbal this week.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was in the bulletin, but I think we figured it best to let Dan's announcement, let that have the moment that it deserved.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well.
Peace out, my homie.
Is that what we're saying?
There it is.
Let us know how the cookies bake.
Casey, don't jump off. We'll say bye to you before you. All right. Everybody else, peace.
Peace. Thanks for joining us this week. We pray that the Holy Spirit has used this time to focus you in on the one thing that you can practice this week as you live out your faith in your family and in your community. If you found this helpful, feel free to share it with a friend. If you would like to support the work that God is doing through Trinity Fremont, you can text a donation to 1-844-353-5782, or you can give online at www.trinityfremont.com/donate.